Anyway, today I'm going to talk about the Confidence to Practice Toolkit, and it seems like we've talked about that a lot at these conferences, because we have, and because this is a dynamic website or a compilation of tools. Now, I'm very happy at the number of people here, and I just, you know, how many of you are familiar with the core competencies in public health? All right, yay! That's great, so I don't have to go over the whole background now. How many of you are aware that there are now three tiers? Anyway, well, the three tiers, the core competency three-tier continuum is a tool in and of itself. And a little bit of history. Well, first, let me see. Okay, I have no relationship, so I know Ron. So what we're going to do is talk about the competencies a little bit, the practice toolkit, and ways for you to get involved, and ways especially for you to let us know how you're using the competencies. Going backwards. Down. Okay. I'm not going to read this. The Council of Linkages between Academia and Public Health. How many are aware of it? Yeah, okay. You don't have to read it. Of course, the Council of Linkages, as it says, is the link. It is to promote linkages between academia and public health practice, and of course, the council is made up of the various associations that oversee the various disciplines, as well as our federal partners, and it's growing and growing, isn't it? It's a dynamic organization. And I'm fortunate now to be the co-chair of the council's competency committee. So what we know there are a set of skills that are broad, core. They're not the discipline specific, they're the core. What everyone should know if they are in public health practice. And when people look at them, they know where they're going to start. They come into public health, they know where they need to go. They can look across the continuum now and see how they get from entry level to leadership. And as I said, the starting point for understanding, assessing, and meeting training and workforce needs. Okay, so just a little of how they're being used. Greater than 50% are being used by state health departments, and that's in 2009, so that's a good, I don't know when the actual year this was taken, but that's good. Now, approximately 30% of local health departments based on NHS 2010, that's a little low, but this also, it overlaps with the development of, with the revision of the Tier 2 and the development of the three tiers, because one of the things we found along the way, and I know many, obviously all of you are involved in workforce development, is that the original core competencies were a great beginning. But as we used them over time, we discovered that they were not one size fits all and couldn't be, and actually originally were defined as someone having an MPH and 5 years experience, which is not the public health practice, governmental public health. So what we were hearing from practices, they didn't know how to use them. Because for one thing, there were competencies in there that were asking people to do things they weren't allowed to do, especially around policy and whatnot. So this is why we wanted to simplify it for people, and hopefully then we can see that going up. And of course, the toolkit is a way to do that. But over 90% of academic health programs are using them, which is great, because the question we always hear is, what is the difference between like the ASPH competencies and the core competencies? And the answer we always give is that the Council on Linkages core competencies are the practice competencies. If an academic program uses them, they use them for a practica. You know, these are the cross-cutting issues on the CEPH exam. And so they're synergistic, but, you know, it's really great to see that many schools using them in programs. So how they're used, they've been used for job descriptions, performance objectives, workforce competency assessments, workforce development plans, training plans. You know, you can read, you know, all the things that people can do with them. And doing performance reviews, curricular review. And now especially, people are really beginning to use them for Domain 8 and the FAB standards. And in North Carolina, we had mandatory accreditation for many, many years, and which also helped contribute to the national, the FAB benchmarks. And so we've had a chance to really look at how the competencies are helping people meet that benchmark. And I mean, it's very important now, assuring a competent workforce. So the toolkit, the idea of the toolkit was we're going to have a repository of ways that people can use them, because these are, you know, people want to know how to use them. There's the cold medicine. So some of the things under development, and actually some of the things we've already achieved, is a crosswalk, or I guess the crosswalks between the core competencies and the essential public health services. We are adding examples to clarify the competencies, because no matter how much we try to simplify it, people still want a definition. And of course, different disciplines have totally different terminology for things. Examples on how to demonstrate attainment of competence. That's a really tough one. That's a big, big job, and we welcome all sorts of input on that. Job descriptions, prioritization matrices, competency assessments, and what we're going to talk, when we'll get to here, is examples of how some of the competencies are being used. So, just an example, and all of this you can find on the Public Health Foundation's website under workforce development. An example of how we've begun to crosswalk. And we've not only crosswalked between the current the new competencies and the essential public health, we've also, even before we began to develop the three tiers, crosswalked between the original and the new ones. The tier two revision, which was in 2009, the tier two, right? And then 2010 was the three tier. So here you have an example of how we're trying to put words in to better help people know what these mean. And I know the folks at Kentucky, you've had people look at the competencies, and they found instances where some people, especially in the tier one, don't know what they mean. So so this is by adding some examples. This is going to help, we hope. This one, as I said, this is a difficult one, a process that Kathy Miner at Emory started to help us with, and she quickly, and she's a, you know, competency guru, maven, you know, whatever, goddess. And she immediately said, I can't do this by myself. This is a huge job trying to do this. So we're always looking for ways to break this into, like, each person. We'll get one person for each competency to do this and develop the outcome measures. On that website, too, now you can find a sample job description. And this is one that I guess you all found, right? Yeah, that of a health commissioner job in which the core competencies were put in. So prioritization matrix. I know I have a problem with that down line. I just think that I can't get past it. But Ron was just telling me this morning an example of you know, people are using these competencies to assess the workforce, and they're getting an understanding of what the top needs are. But when key stakeholders sit down and talk about it, it was leadership that they said, okay, this is the priority, this is our first priority. And so a way to look, and we're going to do this in West Virginia, we're doing a statewide assessment using the three-tier competencies, and when it's done, we will bring together the key stakeholders from the regions, and they will go through this process. This is an example. We have three assessments, one for each of the tier levels, and everyone says they give me credit for them, but all they are is the competencies. So, and these can be used for self-assessment or put into an aggregate assessment, which is what we're doing in several states and what some other states are doing. So this is just... Okay, the examples of the core, right? CDC is using them to articulate quality improvement competencies for performance improvement managers being hired. And in West Virginia and Rhode Island now, we're doing the statewide three-tier assessments. And the way those work is people come into the instrument the very beginning, they get demographic questions which help to sort them. It's like the sorting hat, you know. But no one ends up in the Slytherin. And then it will determine from their answer which tier they go into, and it'll be seamless to them. And so we'll have a better way of looking. So that's underway, and several other states are doing that now, or beginning. Kentucky's doing something similar. Minnesota is using the Tier 3, the leadership level competencies, for their Community Health Administration advisory committees, and for people in leadership positions are being assessed based on the Tier 3. Southwest Regional Public Health Training Center, and I'm also a training center director, so we are powered users of the competencies, to develop a knowledge-based needs assessment to be incorporated in their learning management system. And the similar processes are going on with Train as well to put the assessments that I put together in there. And so we'll have ways to do that. Right, there in Indiana, they crosswalk Tier 2 competencies and the Essential Public Health Services in their education and training toolkit that's distributed to all the local health departments. And I hope we can see that they'll eventually do all three tiers. But this is just a summary of my not very long ago where I said this already. The ways you can find this at the Public Health Foundation website, but find examples of crosswalks, examples of, you know, what I've just gone through. And one of the questions, we have 5 minutes, is, you know, what other tools are needed? You know, we've covered, and I guess we have time, we don't have time for that. Should we do that, wait for questions for that, or have some? Okay, because this is one, and you can also let us know in other ways, but. So use them, and if you don't have a copy of the continuum, you can pick some up at the Public Health Foundation booth in the exhibit hall or on the website. So we want feedback on what you've heard today, and we also want, and you can send this to, you'll see, Kathleen, share your examples of how you're using the core competencies, because that's really a big part of the toolkit. Is examples, and there's so many more already going on that are really exciting that weren't even represented in this list. So you can let us know. You can say, I'm really interested in this. Email Kathleen Amos and say, I want to be on a committee. I want to take on one of those outcome indicators. We'd love that. Anyway, that's the end. I'm ahead of my time. Thank you.